right, welcome to a holiday episode of the Brick House Podcast. I'm Bob Johnson.
I'm Matt Baker, and Bob, it's been a good 2015. This is probably our last podcast of 2015.
2016 started like three podcasts ago, remember?
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot. You rang in the new year. We were all caught off guard, but I think that's the way 2016 likes it.
For the holidays, I prepared some segments that are gift wrapped. They're the main event, but they're coming later to start. You know, you got to start with the stocking stuffers. So I got a few of them for you, Matt. Just like to get your opinion on these headlines if you haven't heard about them.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start off with Jabari Parker. You know, he was recovered from a ACL tear,
right?
That happened just over a year ago.
We all saw that Gatorade commercial, Bob.
It was December 2014 when he tore his ACL,
and right.
You know, he's from Chicago, but he was rehabbing in Milwaukee, and he was away from the game for a while, and so he had to find some ways to keep himself motivated on his comeback, on his road to recovery. And he made an unlikely friend.
Oh, wow.
At the Milwaukee Zoo.
Yeah?
A 100-year-old Amazon river turtle named Onassis.
Jabari Parker and a 100-year-old turtle are now friends. Is this what you're telling me?
That's exactly what I'm telling you.
Okay. How?
He seems to be just really impressed at how old the turtle is.
Yeah.
The turtle's actually been at the Milwaukee Zoo since 1969.
Wow. And it had a very long life before that as well.
That's true. I don't know exactly the inspiration that Parker draws from Onassis, but I found it odd, curious, and a perfect little stocking stuffer.
Did you see this quote when he was asked about it? A reporter came in and said, "Jabari, do you have a sea turtle friend?" And Jabari said, "Sea turtle friend? No, I wish I did." And then the reporter apologized, and then Parker said, "Amazon turtle. It's a giant Amazon turtle.
River turtle.
Amazon
sir.
River turtle." I like. No. What? A sea turtle? That would be ridiculous. We're in Milwaukee, so obviously I have an Amazon River turtle friend. Now, they say it weighs 120 pounds. Part of me feels like that's kind of light for a 100-year-old turtle with a huge shell and everything. But
you gotta stay swift in the Amazon River, you know.
That's true.
The banks are a lot closer than the coast of the Pacific.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's stocking stuffer number one. There's plenty more here, Matt.
Good.
I was watching a Sacramento Kings game the other day with their home announcers on the league pass.
I'll always take a Kings gift.
Yeah, I wanted. It was the Kings Timberwolves game, which I was toggling back and forth between the two home announcers, and after I heard this quote, just decided to stay with the Kings because one announcer said to the other one, "Yeah, you like to say that a bad shot is better than no shot," and it just cracked me up to think that the Kings announcers at this point will take a bad shot over no shot, and it's not only something that he just came to him at that possession, but it's something he routinely
says. Great, that is great. Sure. I guess yeah. If he said that with no irony whatsoever. Yeah, that perfectly sums up the, oh man.
Well, we didn't lose the game, but Rondo got a lot of bad shots up. So.
Yeah, he does. That's better
than no shots.
Right. Well, saying Rondo put up bad shots is kind of redundant. So, man, keep them coming. More
okay,
Kings,
yeah.
Please.
Gilbert Arenas said some stupid shit to get himself back in the news, which reminded me of Donald Trump.
Hibachi, Bob.
I say Arenas and Trump are either stupid or they're just saying things that they know will cause controversy in headlines. So Arenas suggested that the WNBA players are all ugly.
Uh-huh.
And that if they wanted people to watch or go to their games, they should wear bikinis while they play basketball.
Not a suggestion I haven't heard before from some person saying that.
It's a serious problem we have in this country, and I wanted to highlight it just for a second, not to get too serious on you. But, you know, the news is filled with these shooters. You know, every month in America, it seems there's a shooter killing innocent people.
And, right.
And critics say that it's the glorification of it, or, you know, just even putting these people on the news who commit these heinous crimes.
Right. Allows the killers to go out in a blaze of glory, per se.
Yeah. And it also inspires more copycats to do the same thing.
You know,
have nothing else going on in their lives that they're going to go and do this and ruin other people's lives. What about celebrity jackasses like Arenas and Trump who go around saying stupid, derogatory, dipshittery shit like this? And it gets them all this attention.
Yeah. I mean, it's the best way to get Gilbert Arenas to say things is to put him on television saying things.
Yeah. I think it sets a bad example for other people and other kids out there that, you know, see them and say, oh, well, if I say something offensive, slanderous to a religion or half the population's sex, you know, that'll get me some attention. Get me some people to talk about me.
Well, as you said, Gilbert Arenas hadn't really been in the news for a few years, so.
Yeah, what a loser. He did say it on TMZ.
That's usually where these things happen, Bob.
But in funnier news, Jimmer Fredette is still trying to make the NBA, and he had a quote. He had a quote the other day, and he said, "Some NBA players take time to find their niche, you know." This is maybe true statement
right.
from Jimmer Fredette,
right.
but it just made me think of Chris Farley from Tommy Boy talking to Richard. He says, you know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years. They're called doctors.
They're called doctors. he did score 37 points in the D-League the other night, but a lot of people do that. The D-League is not known for – David Stock.
I think Pierre Jackson averaged 45 in the D-League.
Yeah, David Stockton constantly was putting up high numbers. And if you look at box scores, D-League games are always 150 to 130.
Yeah, not a lot of defense.
Yeah.
A lot of people might have heard by now that Iman Shumpert delivered his wife's baby and his baby in their bathroom.
Mm-hmm. He caught it in his hair.
She woke up at 6 in the morning, didn't realize she was having a baby until its head was starting to come out.
As you do.
He tied off the umbilical cord with his headphone wire, which we don't know what brand it was, but we did we do know that the headphone wire was red.
Okay.
And we did see a strange new ad campaign called Baby by Dre during Saturday's basketball games. I think it might catch on.
Is any of that...
Dr. Dre is not only a billionaire, he's responsible for bringing lives into this world.
Yeah. Is that... That's a true story, all of that, except the... Wait, did he delivered his child?
Oh, he delivered his child. He was on the phone with doctors walking him through it because it was too late to rush to
the hospital. Yeah, because the head was popping out.
Yeah, maybe it was the hair that was popping out first, Iman Shepherd's kid.
Yeah.
A couple more...
Baby by Dre...
Couple more stocking stuffers for you. James Harden's got a new Adidas commercial to go with his $200 million contract. Probably one of many commercials to come. I was in the middle of a conversation with my wife the other day when the commercial came on for the first time that I'd seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of became like a deer in headlights, you know, sort of turned away from the conversation we were having. It was just watching the commercial while my wife was still trying to talk to me. And
that's just called being a good husband.
Yeah,
Bob.
She noticed I had drifted, my attention had drifted. And then she started quoting the commercial as it was going.
Really?
And this is the first time I've ever seen this
That's
commercial.
That's really freaky.
Thus, I'm assuming this is the first time she's seen it. It was true. She had never seen the commercial before, but she knew the quote because the quote in the Adidas commercial, "Those who mind don't matter... And those who matter don't mind, is a famous Dr. Seuss quote. And I thought it was only perfect that James Harden, if he's going to quote anybody in his Adidas commercial,
he's
quoting Dr. Seuss.
That's good. It was a serious one of those serious basketball him putting in work on
as
the,
serious as James Harden's commercials right. can be. He's wearing a bunch of loud clothes and dancing around. They even show his NBA 2K player doing a dance.
Yeah, but I mean, but it was serious because it was showing him going it's, getting ready to.
It's serious about its efforts to sell James Harden's basketball shoes. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
I figured, if it were Kobe, it'd probably be quoting, Machiavelli or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Not James. Thought it was pretty great.
Do you think he gets paid extra for that commercial, or do you think that's part of the contract?
Oh, no. I assume the contract, requires 5 or 6 commercials
right.
and 15 appearances.
Yeah.
And, I would hope they're getting their money's worth.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're going to get their $200 million worth, Bob.
They can't guarantee how he plays on the basketball court, as this season has proved so far. Oh, another little nugget. I don't know if you saw that the Memphis Grizzlies this past week won a game on an alley-oop dunk at the buzzer. It was pretty awesome. Less than a second to go, they had to throw it in from half court. Won the game on an alley-oop dunk. I forget who
Pondexter, was it?
Who made it. I want to say it was Pondexter, Jeff Green.
No, Pondexter plays for a completely different team, Bob.
So in the odd court celebration, the team sort of all dogpiled on the guy who made the winning dunk.
Yeah.
And was all ecstatic. And Vince Carter tried to get in on the action of celebrating. And Courtney Lee was in the pile. He turned over his teammate, Courtney Lee, while he's celebrating the dunk. And slapped him across the face. And it wasn't in like a woohoo, right. He turned him over and he smacked him. It was pretty hilarious.
That's, oh man.
I don't know if it was just like, supposed to be some sort of like congratulatory
smack.
Yeah,
the congratulatory smack.
Like a chest bump.
Yeah.
Or a calm down, we're 500 and our coach is going to get fired next week sort of smack. But either way, I really appreciated it. I felt like Vince Carter got us an early Christmas gift.
That's why you have those vets in the locker room to provide that face slapping. Because sometimes the youngsters need a good face. I mean, Courtney Lee, he's been in the league for what, 6, 7 years? But still, sometimes you get excited about your 15-14 record, and
you think before Minnesota Timberwolves games, like Zach LaVine's about to run out of the locker room, and he hears Zach. It's like,
yeah,
damn.
It makes him run even faster because KG isn't going to slap him. KG's going to knock his teeth out.
So
Papa Kev, that's probably what he calls him.
Before we get to the main presents, one more stocking stuffer. 2 Chainz wants to be a part owner of the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, I didn't see this, but I doesn't
he's the number one
me.
Fan in Atlanta, and he's jealous of Usher's minority stake in the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
He wants in. He wants in on the Hawks. He's been talking to the old owner, which I don't know where that's going to get him. But
well,
good luck, 2 Chainz. Okay, segment for the main event here. What's the deal with... I was thinking players like J.R. Smith really just inspire me to want to do the best podcast I can do, They're sort of the reason this podcast exists, because while we really enjoy basketball, I really enjoy the comedy of NBA players living their lives and playing NBA basketball.
Well, J.R. Smith, everyone has to inspire someone. So if he inspires someone to do a podcast, I guess he's done his work.
He just this week did an interview with GQ that was
brilliant,
appropriately titled J.R. Smith is Always Open.
Yeah.
This has just got so many great gems in it, but I wanted to share some of it with you guys. J.R. went to a basketball camp where there's a bunch of little kids, and a kid ran up to him and he says, I love basketball. In fact, I just came from basketball and I love to learn. Would you help me with my jump shot? And JR says, of course I'll help this kid with his jump shot. He says, wait, when you're playing, do you ever pass it? And the kid says, yes. And JR says, man, don't pass it. Shoot. every time you get it, shoot it. And everyone just laughed, I guess, at J.R. Smith is making fun of J.R. Smith. But I went back and read an article by Jonathan Abrams on Grantland mm-hmm. 3 years ago, and it was talking about J.R.'s time on the Denver Nuggets and his struggles with Coach Carl. And his father gave J.R. the same advice. He said, the coach is going to pull you out either way, so whenever you get the ball, you should just shoot it. You
know? That's not untrue advice.
The interviewer asked, what did you think of China when you played there? JR, China was the worst place I've ever been in my life. What do you think about Ohio not passing the marijuana legalization initiative? Man, if you'd passed it, I wouldn't have to leave in the offseason. How can you concentrate when you're shooting free throws and everyone's yelling? That's easy. It's when you're in Utah and people are shouting the N-word. That's tough.
Whoa.
Really, we all say? Really? That was something that I think we discussed recently is the when players say it's, quote, you know, tough to play there or it's going to be a hostile environment.
Yeah.
It's not because, you know, the fans are throwing eggs and tomatoes at them when they're coming in the tunnel or leaving on the team bus. It's because these cities like Utah, Boston, or, you know, the notorious hostile environment.
Yeah.
Although players may not act like it, they can hear the things that people are yelling pretty much from row 50 on down.
And Boston has been known to be a little harsher on the minorities there, Bob.
No.
Yeah. Did I just blow your mind?
J.R. Smith waxed philosophical a little bit about his relationship with LeBron James.
Of course.
And I guess this is what he tells him about his LeBron James hair. JR, I tell him you can't have everything. I tell him all the time, you can't have it all. You're going to have to give up one thing, and it just so happens it's your hair. If someone told me, I'm going to give you $600 million, but I'm going to take your hair, I'd say, take my hair! could it be that J.R. Smith is finally contented? This is another quote from the article. I have a deep question, I say to J.R. What do you think of your career was going to be like when you came out of the NBA out of high school at age 19, first round of the draft? J.R., it's like on Christmas. Oh, appropriate.
Yeah.
And you write your Christmas list out, and you're going to get everything. And then you get clothes. Where's my lightsaber? Where's my G.I. Joe with the kung fu grip? It's not even wrapped like that in the big red and white and green Santa Claus snowflakes. It's paper like how you used to wrap your books from school. This is
borderline gibberish, Bob. Borderlines on gibberish.
He was hoping his NBA career was going to have a kung fu grip.
Yeah.
And have red, white, and green Santa Claus snowflakes. But he's only just on the best team in the Eastern Conference,
yeah,
playing with one of the best players ever.
If he was so worried about being one of the best players in the NBA and having a Hall of Fame career, maybe he shouldn't just jack up every shot he takes every time he gets the ball.
Him and the interviewer did arrive at the Cleveland practice facility at one point on the half day or however they spent together, and they pulled in behind some futuristic looking BMW that neither of them had ever seen before. JR is just like, man, who the heck is... Oh, it must be Braun.
it doesn't even make its way out of his mouth.
But, you know, he did emphasize that, you know, he was a little nervous about moving to Cleveland, especially coming from New York, being a guy who's known to enjoy partying, going out. But now that he's on the team with LeBron, he's here to win a championship. Mm-hmm. And he really said that, you know, LeBron is strict. And if guy's main goal isn't to win, he's the fucking GM of the team, and so you'll be out on your ass. You want to get traded? Just tell LeBron that, you know, hoverboards are more important than winning. But, you know, I didn't do a full-on game show, but you were so good at the All-Stars 2 weeks ago, Matt, that I have a couple of questions inspired by J.R. Smith.
Okay.
That involve All-Stars who are drafted out of high school.
Okay.
So, since 1990, starting in 1999, only five players have been drafted out of high school and become All-Stars.
From 1999?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you name These players.
Tyson Chandler.
One.
LeBron.
Two.
Dwight Howard.
Three.
I have up until 2007, I guess.
2006 is when 2006. They changed the college rules.
So who do I have so far? Howard, LeBron, and Tyson Chandler?
Correct.
Let's go with... Oh, wow.
One was a rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Played for a team that you like.
Oh, Amari?
Amari Stoudemire. Four.
And then let's see. Let me run through my head real quick of the...
He was traded for one of the players you've already said.
He was?
In a three-way trade.
Oh, Bynum.
Bynum is correct. Well done. Pulled him out.
I had to get a little help. Bob, I have a question for you. Who leads the league in turnovers this year?
Turnovers? Westbrook?
He's second. Our boy.
Harden.
James Harden. But he only has four more than Westbrook.
I was inspired to have another segment.
Eating Crow.
Also put a little Twins in here for you. But it was inspired by watching the Spurs-Clippers go head-to-head on Thursday night. I think it was Thursday night. Leonard was just playing so well. He's really taking the leap this season. He's already been a NBA Finals MVP, but hasn't even been an All-Star.
Right.
And he was just destroying the Clippers. And I couldn't recall if the Clippers were one of the 14 teams that passed on Leonard in the 2011 draft. They were not, but you know who was? In back-to-back picks at 13 and 14, taken right before Kawhi Leonard, by the Suns and the Rockets,
yep.
Markieff and Marcus Morris, in that order. Both, well...
Number 13 and 14 in the draft, but number 1 and 2 in your heart. The Morai.
Yeah, they could have had Kawhi Leonard. That would have been pretty nice for the Rockets. I bet they'd probably be doing a little better than they are so far this year. Although Kawhi is one of those players, you wonder if he was really the product of the situation. You know, if he were on Sacramento, he probably wouldn't be one of the top five players in the league.
Well, because he doesn't need to be the Spurs. He doesn't need to be a legend. He doesn't need to be the number one guy. Like he's clearly. It's becoming his team, but he has Aldridge and he's had Duncan and Parker. He hasn't had to overextend himself. You know, if he was on a team like the Kings, sure you would have Cousins, but say he left the Spurs and took a shot on a different team, then automatically he would become the guy that everyone would look to put up 25 points, do all
right.
That stuff. But it's the perfect combination of talent and situation.
But while the Suns may have taken the infuriating Morris twins, at least they didn't take Jimmer Fredette like the Sacramento Kings did ahead of Kawhi Leonard that year and ahead of Klay Thompson.
Well, remember, Minnesota took Derek Williams. There's that number two. Kawhi Leonard was actually drafted by the Pacers and traded to the Spurs for George Hill.
Right, right. Yeah, which, Indiana drafted in that position. I remember because we were playing our draft game that year that Kawhi was projected to be 5 or 6.
Wow.
And he really fell.
Yeah.
And he ended up being the best player from that year.
I remember that trade because George Hill had just started to show like he was going to be a great backup / maybe one day replacement for Tony Parker.
Right.
And, I haven't won championships like Popovich because he saw something different.
Sure. And in Indiana, I read like George Hill because he went to IUPUI, which is Indiana University.
Yeah.
And I think it was Bill Simmons that pointed out, it's like, that should be your first clue that you're making the trade for the wrong reasons. You know, it's just like, oh, let's get the guy who went to the college down the road. Yeah, the Clippers didn't pass on him because they couldn't. They had traded an unprotected pick to Cleveland, so they would take Baron Davis off their hands. That pick ended up being the number one pick in the draft and being Kyrie Irving. So, damn it all. Missed out on all the good players in that year. Matt, you said you had some Twins news that you wanted to break on Brick House.
Bob, a New Zealand couple has beat the odds by having their fourth set of twins.
Oh my gosh.
Eight of their children are twins under the age of 4 years old. So they've been hammering out these twins. The four sets of twins came consecutively. And if you were wondering, that's a $1 in $24 million $1 in $24 million possibility.
Wow.
I don't know how they calculate these type of things. They actually have nine children, so that one black sheep who is born without a twin probably doesn't feel too good. But they spend $300.
Or he's the leader of all of them.
Sorry?
Or he's the leader of all of them.
That is true. He's concocting this twin army.
He ate his twin.
Ooh, I didn't think about that.
Absorbed his powers.
Yeah. He's evil. They need to watch out for that one. This couple spends $300 a week on meat and vegetables. But you know what? They said they would have more kids if they had an endless supply of money, which sounds like a sweet thing.
The Phoenix Suns are preparing for them.
Yeah. I think a lot of people would do a lot of things if they had endless supply of money.
The Suns would do a lot of things if they had an endless supply of twins.
Yeah. Unfortunately for them, some of these twins are female, so they might, you know, face the backlash of putting a bunch of girls on the team. That's a lot of names to come up with in the span of 4 years.
Yeah.
Second of all, they have seven girls and two boys. That's a lot of kids to keep track of. You got to get them all their matching outfits or their the one thing so you know which one to tell apart. These parents are going to, in like 10 years, they're going to be able to keep track of anything you put in front of them. They're going to have so much practice keeping track of all the kids, but which kid is which.
Yeah, they'll be like masters of the game of memory.
Yeah, so I think the people are looking at the twins aspect, but they're not really looking at the how can we take advantage of these parents and their super abilities aspect. I have a few years to come up with that.
Capitalize on that.
Yeah, it's good for them to have a bunch of kids and whatnot, but I'm looking to take advantage of the parents. And that's your twins update, Bob.
Wow,
four sets
awesome.
Of twins.
I wonder if they're related to Stephen Adams at all, who's from New Zealand.
The mom, they asked her whether they'd consider having more children, and the mom just said, "My body needs a rest."
Fair enough. She earned it.
Yeah. So that's that, Bob.
Awesome, Matt. Well, thank you. Let's go into our next segment, one of my favorites, the Diss of the Week.
Yo mama is so fat.
So when the Warriors played in Milwaukee last week,
right?
Fans in the fan section, the Fear of the Deer section, whatever the fuck they call it, wore 24-1 T-shirts to the game. In fact, I think one of the owners of the Bucks was photographed wearing a 24-1 T-shirt, which the Bucks, after the Warriors were, well, the Warriors were on the seventh game of their 7-game road trip. Double overtime the night before to the Celtics. Finally lost their first game. This is not new news. But they lost their first game to Milwaukee. However, the Bucks traveled to the West Coast to play the Warriors just this past Friday. And so
To get that smacking, that Vince Carter smacking.
Yeah, Warriors were talking shit, saying like they were not happy about how the Bucks players celebrated after winning.
Right.
Knowing that they were going to be in Golden State a week later. So the Warriors were sort of setting up the event, sort of like a WWE rematch. And Oakland fans cleverly made T-shirts of their own that said 10-18.
Yeah.
Which they wore to the game.
That is great. When I saw that, I loved it. That's genius.
That definitely wins our Diss of the Week. And, shout out to those Warriors fans who thought of that. It was brilliant.
Those 24-1 T-shirts, they're really only good in that moment, because in 2 years you're going to wear a T-shirt about the time you beat the Warriors in the regular season.
Finished 11th in the East,
right? But the 10-18 is so good because it just tops. It's just way better. It's just way better.
Such a good diss.
Yeah, they could have had another T-shirt option. Could have been a t-shirt that said, "A few days ago, you guys lost to the Lakers."
Right.
It would have been a lot of words to fit on a t-shirt.
You made Kobe look good.
Yeah. But, you know, 10 and 18 is good also.
One of these last segments here is one we've never done before, but I'll just call it NBA agents are lawyers for a reason.
That's a...
Ed, let me explain.
please do. Please do.
So the Lakers signed this player in the offseason. I think it was after Summer League. Actually signed him on October 19th. Jonathan Holmes, who was injured. No, he was injured October 19th in a preseason game against the Portland Trailblazers.
Uh-huh.
So they signed this undrafted guy. He was a senior from UT, Texas. They signed him to a $525,000 rookie minimum contract, but only $100,000 of his salary was guaranteed, right?
It's pretty standard second-round pick contract.
Yeah, undrafted, but right. Yeah.
No, that's what I mean. I know he's undrafted. I'm saying that's...
Yeah, standard. Yeah, it's what Hinkie gives to all those 4,000 second-round picks.
Yeah.
So, because the contract was not guaranteed, the Lakers... You know, waived Holmes, and we're just going to pay him what they owed him, the 20% of what they owed him.
Right.
But by league rules, the Lakers are responsible for Holmes' entire contract until he recovers from the injury.
Oh.
Which I'm sure is the player's agent, you know, made abundantly clear to the Lakers who waived the guy. Not realizing that they were on the hook for much more than this 20%. He's projected to be out and recovering for the next 5 months.
That's the entire season, Bob.
Conveniently.
Yeah.
So, yes, that is why NBA agents are lawyers. A good friend of mine is graduating from Marquette this year. He wants to be a sports agent. Hope you're listening. And I hope you're taking notes about how to get the most for your cut Lakers players.
Yeah, and let's be honest, $500,000, it's not going to really hurt the Lakers at all. But still, it's kind of a bum situation for them because they had to cut him to make room for someone who was going to play. But you also, I'm sure they tried their darndest to get out from under that extra $400,000 and. That's $400,000 you could give to Sasha Vujacic or some, bring him on back. Do you want to play a quick game of Will They Win this week?
Oh, I would love to.
Okay.
It's Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
It's the 76ers, Will They Win this week? They have three games, okay?
Yes.
You know what? Let's play a quick game of Will They Win the rest of the year?
Okay.
Okay, because they have five games. Up until January 1st. So Tuesday, December 22nd, they play home against Memphis. Bob, will they beat Memphis at home?
They will not beat Memphis at home.
Okay, I think that's
Dave Joerger's job depends on that.
Yeah. If that might be the end of old Joerger there if that happens.
It would be. If the players really wanted him gone, they could take a dive in the second round.
Okay, then the next night, they have to travel... Wednesday, December 23rd, they have to travel to Milwaukee.
On the road. I was going to say a loss before you said the team, just what they have to travel to.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna mark that down as a loss as well.
Okay.
Milwaukee's, you know, they don't really want the embarrassing shirts. Maybe there's some Sixers fans will show up with a 2-30 shirt on, you know, to taunt the Bucks fans.
We did it. Okay, Saturday, December 26th, will the 76ers give their fans a late Christmas gift by beating the Suns in Phoenix?
Suns in Phoenix. Ooh, gonna have to say no, they won't.
Yeah, okay.
Just a bunch of coal for the Philly fans, yeah. As usual.
Monday, December 28th, at Utah.
That's a hostile environment.
We've established that's a very hostile environment.
Okafor is not going to be allowed out in Utah after what happened in Boston. That's my prediction.
Oh, wow. I didn't even put that together.
And they're not going to win either.
Okay.
In fact, I bet they're going to lose pretty handedly.
Wednesday, December 30th, wrapping up their year. They have this is okay.
This is so they could win. If they don't win one of these games, they will only have one win. Is that correct?
Correct.
Wow.
Okay, Wednesday, December 30th, another road game. This is game four of a six-game road trip that they have.
That sounded good already.
Yeah.
The Kings?
The Kings.
Oh.
You called it.
That was just a guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to win, though.
Okay.
That's a schedule loss. I think, you know, the Clippers would lose that one, game four games on a long road trip.
They have we're saying they're going to go 0-5 the rest of the season.
0-5.
They have back to January 1st and January 2nd. They play back to backs in Los Angeles versus the Lakers, then versus the Clippers. So they could start off January. It'd be hilarious if January 1st they got a second win against Los Angeles.
I bet the Lakers are the only team that they wake up and they're confident about beating. I think they win game number two against the Lakers.
You could buy tickets to that January 1st game against the Lakers off StubHub right now. The cheapest ticket, $112.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they'll make up that Jonathan Holmes $500,000 salary, no
that's
problem.
That's the Kobe retirement bump there. December 30th, speaking of Kobe, he travels to Boston for his last matchup in Boston with the Celtics.
Ooh,
so
that'll
be interesting. You can find that on your home of the Atlanta Hawks, NBA TV, Bob. I don't know why they're playing that. The Hawks are not involved in that game, but apparently they can play games that involve not the Hawks on NBA TV.
Awesome. Well, that's one of my favorite segments. And they got Mike D'Antoni now, too.
Oh, it's almost too perfect.
Yeah, we're going to be talking a lot more about them in the new year. And if you want to get us a holiday gift, you could follow us at Brickhouse Pod on Twitter. Tell your friends to listen to the show. If you enjoy it, you know, go to the gym. Just start talking trash. Start quoting the Brickhouse show. You can claim it for your own. And
if you want a t-shirt, email Bob. And
oh yeah, we got a few extra t-shirts for the holidays and they're going fast, but email me at bob@brickhousepodcast.com and you could be a lucky winner.
Yeah.
And enjoy all those games on Christmas Day. Try not to let your family and the holiday take away from the basketball festival that is Christmas Day basketball. Five games starting at 9 a.m. on the West Coast, Matt. For everyone who has been listening these first few months, I really appreciate it. And hopefully we're going to grow to have more of you. But we're going to need your help to get there. So just send in your bank account numbers to bob@brickhousepodcast.com. And I will use the funds appropriately to make sure Brickhouse gets heard by the masses.
Bob's great.
Thanks a lot, and enjoy your holidays.